Let us all say amen. Indeed, he is the only one. Our scripture reading was going to be taken out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the latter part of verse 14 and verse number 15. We are starting a new series of lessons dealing with the battle belongs to the Lord. And I don't know about you, oftentimes I get caught up in the battle. But the battle really belongs to the Lord. The Bible says in round about verse number 14, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken ye all Judea and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of the word. Brother Henry, the elder, will start it out, and then I will have a few words to say afterwards.
All right.
I do want to welcome you all. It's good to see folks every Sunday morning that are willing to come out and worship God as God tells us to do.
Amen.
And we have embarked upon a new study based upon Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20, verses 14, 15. The battle belongs to the Lord. And as I live my life day by day, and I find myself here in the last day of April, I wonder where the days of this year have gone. Perhaps you do too.
Amen.
And I realize it's not like it used to be for me. I realize every day that passes by is a great gift to me.
Amen.
And that it comes from God. And I have very little time. And no matter what your age is, you too, you have very little time.
Amen.
To get done what God requires of you. And I don't want to waste any of it. And I do recognize that I'm in a battle. You are in a battle. And I do recognize that many of us are fighting the wrong battle, or we're fighting on the wrong side, perhaps.
Amen.
And so, you know, we have to consider all those things, and I'm not going to consider all those things this day. I know when preachers say they're going to preach 10 minutes, I don't know why everybody laughs, but we're gonna see what happens, all right? I struggled for a title, because I don't want to keep calling every sermon The Battle Belongs to the Lord. Otherwise, I have a hard time differentiating between them when I post them online. So if you care for a title to this, I'm calling it When God Fights Your Battles, You Win.
Amen.
You win. Amen. Satan is good at being bad.
Yes, he is.
He's very good at being bad. And we know he's just waiting. He's always waiting, lurking around, looking for his chance to launch his missiles in your direction. And he's extremely accurate with his missiles. The good news is, though, that we can learn of his battle tactics. We can learn the way he behaves and what he does. And when we learn, we can watch him fail.
Amen.
Now, how do we accomplish this? Well, by the scripture. That's the simple answer, isn't it? By reading of the victories of those who stumbled before us. The Bible is full of lessons for us to learn about Satan and about his tactics and what people dealt with and how we can apply them to our lives. And we can also do it by believing that God is bigger than Satan's best shots.
Amen.
Now, sometimes it seems like we just can't win, but we can. If we recognize our own weaknesses and rely on God's strength to overcome those areas. Many times we try to compensate for our weaknesses ourselves, instead of just handing it over to God. If we do that, then eventually Satan won't be able to target us in those areas. You know why? Our weaknesses can actually, over time, become a strength. When we recognize we have a problem and we hand it over to God and God works with us, eventually Satan will move on to another area because he'll recognize that what once was a weakness no longer is.
Amen.
And the only reason he continues to attack us from the same angle is because he has success there.
Yep.
I know it's true in my life.
Amen.
I tend to have the same problems about the same things over and over again. But we can win.
Amen.
But we need to believe that God is also bigger than our weaknesses.
Amen.
Let me tell you a little story here. It's not a very complicated story. I didn't make it up. But it's about a man that walks down the street. And he sees a hole, and he falls in. That's pretty simple, right? Well, the next day, he walks down the same street, and he sees the same hole, and he falls in again. Now, the third day, the man changes his route slightly. He knows there's a hole there, so he changes his route slightly, but eventually, he still falls in the hole. So the fourth day, he changes his route just a little bit more, but you know, he kind of moseys around eventually. Guess what? He falls in that stubborn hole again. Now, finally, he gets tired of falling in the hole. I can understand that, can't you? You get up every day and you fall in a hole, you could get tired of that. So in his failure, he decides that this time he knows where the hole is. He's not even going to get near the hole. He's going to walk completely on the other side of the street. He's not messing with the hole. Enough is enough, isn't it?
Amen.
And so he stopped thinking that he could do it. Do what? Well, he stopped thinking that he could walk anywhere near that hole and not fall in.
Amen.
Now, many of us, get this now, many of us, we still think we can walk close to the hole of sin and not fall in. You know what? You can't. You're going to do just like this guy. You're going to get up every day and you're going to fall in that hole unless you decide that you're not going to mess with it. You're not. That's the problem with a lot of us. We like to skirt the edge of the hole of sin, thinking, well, I didn't sin, right? Well, you're right up to the edge of the hole and you're going to fall in. I know I've done it too many times not to know that it's true. We keep trying to get different results by doing the same thing every day. We think, we call it persevering. That's not really persevering, but that's what we call it. Well, I haven't quit. Well, you know what? You might not have quit, but you need to change something here to stay out of that hole. I don't call it persevering. I call it suffering. Unnecessarily suffering.
Amen.
Sin makes you suffer. You know, at the time you do it, you don't suffer. We talked about addiction this morning. We do it because we want to do it and we get something out of it. But ultimately, you suffer because of your sin and it's unnecessary. We must remember God's record. He has proven himself in our lives. Over and over. We must continually keep in our minds what he has done for us. Now, while it's true that I can read and I can learn from the stories of the Bible that I read about others, I must look back and see his faithfulness to me. Me, not you. You need to do it for yourself. You need to be able to look back and see what God has done in your life to help you to see what he is doing so that you can trust and know that he will do what he promises. Now, Satan twists words. He's tricky. He did it to Eve in the garden. And he still does it today. He knows that we are more likely to believe half-truths.
Amen.
And that's the way Satan lies. Satan rarely just tells a bald-faced lie that nobody would believe because nobody would believe it. He puts a little bit of truth in every lie, and it works. People swallow it. We need to start walking in faith. You know, Satan whispers in our ears. He tells us lots of things. And he'll tell us, he tells me, and I bet he tells you the same thing. Well, God can do a lot. Well, that's true. But, you know, God can't do all things. Some things you got to handle yourself. All right? There's Satan talking, right? I don't want to bother God with this. This is too easy. You know, it's just not true. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. God does not lie. God says all things. He's with us in all things. He can do all things. All things is possible. And you know what? This is an instance when he means exactly what he says. Amen. Nothing is impossible. Matthew 19:26. With God, all it's possible to do all things Amen. That we need to do. This teaches us two things. Something about God, one, and something about ourselves, two. Now, one. If we choose to believe that God gives the victory, gives us the victory, then we will see just how powerful that he is. But if instead, number two, we choose to trust in our own strength, and I wish I could say that I haven't done that, and I wish I could say that I'll never do that again. But I don't even know that that's true. Sometimes I think that I'm stronger than I am. But if I trust in my strength, and if you trust in your strength, you will see just how inadequate that you are. God will show you how strong you really are. We need to believe John 15:5, which says that we can do nothing apart from him.
Amen.
You say, well, I can do things that have nothing to do with God. Really? Can you do anything that amounts to anything without God? Who gave you your very life? We're not going to go there, okay? That's not the lesson. God's grace, just for a moment, God's grace. God's grace is fresh. Now, we like fresh stuff, right? You don't want to go, you know, to some restaurant and get stale bread, do you? With your sandwich. That's not what we like. We don't have to live as Christians on yesterday's leftovers. You know, adding, you know, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that to yesterday's leftovers so that it will be just enough to get us by today, all right? That's not the way God works. We don't have to beg and borrow and steal someone else's grace so that we can get by. Because we've used all of ours up yesterday. Sometimes we think, well, I used all of my grace up yesterday. It doesn't work like that. As each day unfolds, God gives us a fresh supply of grace, Amen. Sufficient for the day.
Yeah, that's right.
God knows what I will face today.
Yeah.
And you too. Yeah. He knows. And he's never off guard. Now, I'm off guard, but God is never off guard. So I can know with a certainty that I will have enough grace for whatever I face today. Now, sometimes I might think I don't, but I do.
Amen.
I'm just not looking in the right place. I'm looking for God's grace where God's grace is not.
That's right.
Notice now, I didn't say that I'll have enough grace for tomorrow. You know, we treat grace and love kind of the same sometimes. We try to put it in the bank, you know, and we got to be careful with it so we don't use it all up. There's, you know, if I want to be a responsible Christian, it means that I need to respond to what God wants me to do in the here and the now, the right now, limiting myself only to what he puts before me. Boy, I am preaching to myself here. I am too concerned. I am too concerned about what is coming.
Well,
when I might be underground tomorrow. Right?
Amen.
All of us, we might be. So God gives me enough grace for today. And he wants me to depend upon him to deliver whatever I need for tomorrow if I see tomorrow. But he supplies it. God knows just how much to give me. You know, remember the manna that he supplied to the Israelites? Do you remember that? And how much did he give them? Enough for the day. He didn't want them to feel too secure. See, that's what we want. We want to feel secure about not just money, but if we're spiritual, we want to feel secure about our spirituality. So we want to treat it the same way as money and put it in the bank and save it up. God doesn't work like that. They couldn't stockpile the manna. If they tried to, it went bad. And we can't stockpile God's grace. Amen. He gives it to us as we need it. And we got to keep asking him for it. Keep depending upon him for it every single day. God takes wounded and weak sinners. Amen. And we mentioned this in class today. He takes us that way. But you know, instead of just obliterating the weak spots in us, you know what he does? He lives in us. Amen. Think about that. He lives in us. He lives inside of us. And he lives in us for, this is two reasons and then I'm done. Okay. He lives in us because first, he loves us. Amen. I think we don't give that enough consideration. Amen. God's loving us. Look in the mirror when you get a chance. You see that person in there with the doubting eyes when you look in the mirror? Well, God not only created that person that you're looking at, but he generally loves that person that you see in the reflection. Look, try that sometime. Look in the mirror and say, boy, God loves that, right? You understand what I'm saying? Yes, he does. Because, you know, you only see what everybody else sees when you look in the mirror. God sees much more than that to you. You have a soul, and God loves you. He knows your name. He's a personal God. He knows who you are. He knows what you've done, where you're going, and what you're going to do. He is, now the second thing, he is God. He gets the glory. And you know why? Because nobody else deserves it.
That's right.
Who else deserves the glory that God should get? Who else has really done anything?
Nobody.
Anything any human being has ever done, they haven't done it apart from God.
Amen.
Whether they recognize him and give him the glory or not, it is his.
Right.
The more obvious it becomes to us, the more obvious, you know, that you don't have what it takes to win. That's what I'm talking about. I know that. I am this game of life, I'm going to lose it apart from God. I don't have what it takes to make the difference. I've tried it, and many of you have too. Tried living apart from God. At least I was pretending to be apart from God. And you know what? It just got worse.
Amen.
It just got so bad. And so he loves it when we stand amazed at the things that he does in our lives. He loves it. We need to have him step in and let God do the impossible. Because it's not impossible.
That's right.
You know, forgiving sins. Think about that. That sounds impossible, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
To have what you did not really count. The do-over, right? I mean, we know about do-overs. We do this in life, you know, with various different things. If you play golf, you know about the do-overs, right? But, and so you pretend like what you did didn't count, but you know what? You still did it and you know that you did it.
Yeah.
And it's still on. Well, with God, it really doesn't count.
Amen.
The wrong things you did are taken away.
Amen.
They don't count. So why shouldn't we give him every opportunity to show us what he can do in our lives?
Amen.
We have a choice. We all have a choice.
Amen.
We can continue to do things by our own strength and continue to fail, because ultimately you will. I mean, I know we look at people that have lots of money and they die with lots of money. And then where's the money? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not in their pocket.
Nope.
It's not in their pocket. It's in somebody else's. So you see, the world's measure of success is gone. So then what's going to matter? That's the question, isn't it? You know, so we recognize, it says in our text here, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is His, but the victory is ours.
Amen.
You can live a winner and you can die a winner and live an eternity a winner.
Amen.
If we allow God to fight our battles, we will never lose.
Amen.
Okay, I think that might have been more than 10 minutes.
Amen.
But hopefully not too much more. Thank you for your attention.
Amen.
Amen.
Indeed, you're going to go some way. But if you're going to go His way,
amen,
we're going to have to learn to allow God
to be the motivating factor in our everyday life.
Right.
Appreciate those words of encouragement from Brother Henry.
Amen.
Excellent job in dealing with the battle. I know some of you sitting here this morning is having a battle. And I don't know about you, as I face life and as I face the many challenges of life, I realize that some battles I just cannot win. And so I've learned, and I'm going to give you a title, Let Go and Let God. And I'm learning that on this time side of life, that the battles we face are there to move us to a much higher plateau in our Christian walk. The text says that the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. You know, those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, God has given us something, and He has given us the third person of the Godhead to dwell in our everyday life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It'll teach us. It admonishes us. And I'm learning that when we let go and let the Spirit of God guide and direct us in our everyday life, then the battle becomes a battle of victory.
Amen.
I don't know about you. Even when you have been defeated in the battle, if you remain steadfast, unmovable, doing the will of the Father, guess what? You have the victory.
Amen.
You know, you ever been in a battle and you throw up both hands? Oh yeah, I do it all the time. Because when I throw up my hands, I'm asking my Father, y'all don't hear me this morning, to take the battle off of my hands. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I can go on for the next hour or so, but I won't, hopefully. But I just want to deal with this word battle here. The believer must believe that God is who He say He is. And when you believe that God is who He say He is, Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And as you believe, guess what? You got to have the proper attitude to believe that God is who He said He is.
Amen.
That attitude comes from a relationship to God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant.
Amen.
See, when one believes and have the proper attitude, he trusts God.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him. And guess what God will do? He will direct your path. How would He direct my path? He will allow His Spirit to direct me. John chapter 16, verses 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, come, He will guide you. He will direct you. He will guide you how? In the truth. And when He guides you in the truth, guess what? I learned to trust. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. I learned to trust Him. And when you learn to trust God, guess what? You don't worry about nothing on this time side of life. John chapter 8, round about verse number 32. Jesus says, in this life,
In this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. Why, Jesus? I've overcome the world. And when you really understand and trust God, guess what? He helps you to live better.
That's right. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And you know how he helps you to live better? He helps you to know that in the midst of the trials and tribulations, when nothing else can help, I'm right there for you. John chapter 10 and round about verse number 10. The Bible says the thief has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. And the abundant life that Jesus gives us comes from this person right here.
Amen.
As he guides us in our everyday life. Galatians chapter 5 and round about verse number 6. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I don't know about you. The cares of this world doesn't bother me. Because I know the battle I'm in belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
So I gotta remain steadfast and unmovable in my Christian walk. When you don't want to battle with me, guess what? God still stands victorious.
Amen.
And the life that I live guarantees me, if I live it for him, I got eternal salvation. Amen. Church, I don't know about you. That's what motivates me, is to know that the battle I'm in is just here for a moment.
Amen.
Paul told the church in Corinth, we are hard pressed on every side, but not in distress. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but we don't have to worry about nothing. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And if we depend on him, guess what? The wisest man on the face of the earth says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace. I don't know who you serve this morning, but I serve a God that takes my battles. And sometimes, as believers, boy, we want to help him out, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
And when you help him out, what do? Mess it all up. Don't tell the truth. Church, I want to just encourage you and remind you that the battle belongs to the Lord. It was the Spirit of God that had to come in the midst of the king and reminded the king, don't worry about folk. How many of y'all sitting here worried about the multitude?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
He reminds him, don't be dismayed on what's going on around you. God's battle is his. And you and I must remain steadfast in our Christian walk. 1 John chapter 2, as I close, talking about the battle. John says in 1 John chapter 2, and round about verse number 25. And this is the promise that he has promised Stan.
Amen.
It says us, but it's got an S in there. So I can put me in there. Amen. That's right. Somewhere down the line as God's people, we either believe this or we don't. I don't know about you. I know the story's true.
Amen.
Because I've seen the evidence of the story. I know some of us might be sitting here saying, well, I'm here this morning just in case it's true. But I tell you, there's going to come a time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account to everything that's done in the body. Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. I know the God of Israel and the God today. 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 10. God destroyed 25,000 people in one day simply because they talked back to Moses.
Wow.
What a God do we serve? And God says, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. The things that are written aforehand was written for our learning. Why did God do some of the things he did to Israel? Because Israel was disobedient to what God commands. How about us this morning? What battle are you fighting this morning? See, many of us are fighting a battle just to maintain life. But I guarantee you that if you surrender your will to the will of the Father, he'll give you life that you just can't even imagine. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and might have it more abundant. I got a penny and a nail in my pocket. I'm just as happy as I can be. Because it's not about that. It's about knowing that one day I'm going to have to give up the ghost. My wife and I was talking about that on the way to church. Now, I don't know what you dream,
But one day I know he's going to require this body to go back where it came from. And Paul shows me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 the confidence that the believer has to have. Paul says, so in this earthly house be dissolved. Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's what motivates me. That's what drives me to know that in the midst of everything that goes on, I serve a God.
I want to encourage each and every one of us as we prepare to go through the rest of this day. Ask yourself, what battle am I really fighting?
Amen.
You know, sometimes you ever fight the battle of foolishness?
Oh, yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh? You ever fought that battle of foolishness?
Yes.
You know, you ever fought the battle up here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, don't look at me funny.
You get up here and boy, you just go round and round in circles.
Yes. I want to encourage you to come out of up here and let God make the difference in our lives.
Want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. Sometimes the battle might seem like it's hopeless, but Jesus says that the battle is real and that you and I need to depend on him. I want to leave you with Ephesians chapter 6 and round about verse number 10. I don't know about you that in the midst of everything that I do in my life, I realize and I recognize that I can't do nothing without Jehovah. And you know, and I'm learning to depend on him, because when I depend on me, I mess it up. You don't? Oh, well, I need to see you afterwards. No, I've learned that in the midst of everything that goes on, I have to trust God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Church, I'm learning that in the midst of your battles, if you depend on God, if you trust him, if you allow him to be the author and finisher of your life, man, a battle won't seem to be absolutely nothing, because he'll give you the victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, you need to understand something, that we're in a battle, not with one another, but the battle is to remain steadfast, to make heaven our home. Want to remind you and encourage you, God has commissioned each and every one of us that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ. Our responsibility is to seek and to save the lost and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from the world? Let God fight the battles.
Amen.
And guess what? You'll stay unspotted. Those of you that are visiting this morning that may not be part of the body of Christ, want to encourage you. You've heard the word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
The question is, do you believe what I've said? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell you nay, except you repent, you perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel, that's an ongoing confession. Every single day when you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, he takes care of the battle. Amen. I'm learning that when you don't confess him, sometimes he just lets you battle on until you realize that he's really in control.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. He says, I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible teaches that we must be buried in water for the remission of our sin. See, it's in that watery grave that God does a spiritual operation. He cleansed you from all your sins. And then he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6 and following, cast all your cares upon me. Why? Because he cares for me. He reminds me to be humble, be submissive. Why? Because Satan is out to get you. See, I'm learning that in the midst of all of my battles, the devil can't touch me unless I give God permission. Ooh, to do such. And you know how I give God permission? When I fall in sin. And then God gives Satan permission to mess with me. But as long as I stay free from sin, God does not give Satan permission to mess with me. Hope I said something this morning to encourage your heart, to remind you The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Stop trying to fight the battle. Let go and let God. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.